Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the 8th chapter of Ephesians. And Paul does not there command you to be light. Rather, Paul tells you that you are light. It's not that Paul's afraid to tell people what to do. In fact, Paul often speaks in what I call prescriptive language, often using what we call the imperative mode. It seems like all the time he's telling his reader to do this, don't do that. But not here in Ephesians. Here, he uses what we call the indicative mode to indicate descriptive language what you actually are light. But you haven't always been light. There was a time when you were not light. He says, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And I think he gets that idea from Jesus, who in his first sermon called you salt, then he called you light. Not that Jesus is afraid to tell people what to do. In fact, Jesus often tells his hearers to do this, don't do that. But not there. Not in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus describes you as salt, and he says you're light. Before God began his work of creating all this, Moses says the earth was without form and void, meaning that God created all this, the Latin terms ex nihilo, out of nothing. You remember from high school chemistry class that matter can be neither created nor destroyed except by God. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God created those atoms and used them, lots of them, like a child uses Legos or Lincoln Logs, and began to create. And God said, let there be light. In darkness, there is no life. Light is fundamental to life. And yeah, I wondered about the fish too. The fish that live way down there deep where there is no light. And the word is bioluminescence. It means living things that produce their own light. I can't do that. But if I follow the actual science, up to 80% of fish do make their own light. You see, God knows as well as you and I do that light is necessary for life. And God knew where those fish were going to live. So God installed a light producing mechanism on 4 out of 5 fish so that they can live way down there in the deep. And after light, God separated the things down here from the things up there and then creates some elevation, excavates some earth so water runs and makes valleys. Then he digs big holes for lakes and bigger holes for oceans, and now vegetation, food for the animals, the solar system, and now here come the animals. John the Apostle begins his gospel by quoting those first few words from Genesis 1, taking us back to in the beginning. And he says that Jesus was there in the beginning, the creator of that light. John loves his metaphor, and he goes on to tell us that he himself was light. Jesus was light, saying in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, and that's the way of things, isn't it? Darkness cannot overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. And then John the Apostle introduces us to John the Baptizer. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And now back to Jesus, where John says the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world, but they rejected him. They preferred darkness to light. That blind man on Sunday, when Jesus gave him sight, I think he kind of liked that, didn't he? When the darkness that had been his lot since birth ended, he clearly preferred living in the light. When I said last week that the inability to stand firm in the faith when bad things happen, I think that's taken down more Christians than anything. Related to that, things we can't understand. Like, why was this man born blind? Related to that, I think most people would say that blindness is a bad thing because it is. And I love when people try to out Jesus. Jesus, I got this. The man who was born blind, one of them said, which is obviously a result of somebody's sin. So obviously this man is blind because somebody sinned. So which is it, Rabbi? Is this punishment of blindness because of the sin of him? Or is he blind because of the sin of his parents? Obviously, it must be one or the other. And Jesus answers, neither. But watch this. And then he does what he does, and he never answers their question, who sinned? He tells them that they're wrong in putting forth the theological hypothesis that the man's blindness must be because of somebody's specific sin, but he never answers. And we don't know why. So why is this man blind or born with this particular handicap and not somebody else being born with another handicap? Why is that? I don't know. And it was the original temptation to be like God. The same thing that had got Lucifer into hot water in the first place. Christians who don't understand everything about God, as if. I think that why question has taken down a lot of Christians. You can't tell me why? I'm done with it. Done with the church, done with Christianity, done with God. But just because I don't understand how a fax machine works or why it does what it does, I do not deny the existence of the fax machine. It was not this man who sinned, this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And watch this. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is. I am the light of the world. John had talked about the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world while I'm here. And now he's gone. Now he's gone. While he was in the world, he was, he says, the light of the world. And now he's gone, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. But before he left, in his first sermon, he told you that you are light. You are light. And what do you do with that light? He tells you that you are light, and then he tells you to allow your light to shine, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. Let your light shine so that they see your good works and glorify God. And how do you do that? What you don't do is hide it under a bushel. No. Why would you do that? It's easier, usually. You know, Paul has a history with these Christians at Ephesus. He went to them on his third missionary journey, and he found there some Christians who needed further instruction in the Christian religion. And that's not unusual. Pastor Golder at Trinity says the mission field is always messy, and he's right. And that's one of the reasons why. God makes Christians, And that's the beginning of a lifetime of learning about Christianity. And confirmation is the start of learning, not the end. And in Ephesus, he went into the local synagogue and he taught them for 3 months. Says he was arguing and pleading. He does a lot of that. Until they kicked him out of the synagogue, like they had kicked Jesus out of the synagogue. So he moved to the hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus is probably the owner. And they listened to him. So he stayed for 2 years. So that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles. And then the guy, you know, Demetrius, the silversmith, he got his panties all up and a bunch of people were converting to Christianity and away from the pagan gods. And it was hurting the tourism industry. And what do you do when you run out of ideas? You start a riot and it got ugly and his work was done here. Paul had trained men native to Ephesus to be pastors, and that's also how it works in the mission field. He preached his final sermon to them and then left the flock at Ephesus in their hands, and he went away. But he did not forget them. And he writes this letter that we know as Ephesians to the Christians in Ephesus. But just because he spent 2 years with them, just because he ordained pastors there, it was still kind of messy. So in chapter 5, verse 1, he tells them to be imitators of God. And then reminding you of who you are, not telling you who to be, but telling you who you are. You are children of God. That's who you are. Not all parents are the same. And good parents teach their children how to act, how to talk, even how to think. We are children of God. And Paul tells them to walk in love because that's who we are. Things like fornication, covetousness, he says that's not who we are. And he calls us saints, holy people. Neither is filthiness, silly talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Yeah, that's who we are. Question. What should our posture be towards messy people? And did not Jesus eat with sinners? Yes, he did. For the purpose of proclaiming to them the word of God. And if they listened, he stayed. Mary of Bethany, for one. If they did not listen, he tells the apostles to shake the dust off your feet and move on. The RSV says here that Paul tells the Ephesians, do not associate. It's a command. More like, do not partake with them. And the question is, who is leading whom to what? Are you, who were darkness, but now are light, being led back into darkness? Or are you shining the light into their darkness? For once you were darkness, but now are you light. You are light, not in, but with the Lord. I don't know what that would mean, light in the Lord, light with the Lord. Walk as children of light. Remember, as your parents maybe told you, who you are. Remember who you are and act and talk and even think like children of God who live with the light. We are the light, and that term light in the Lord, what does that mean? That we are light in the Lord. It's a preposition with the dative case after it. It means we are light with the Lord. We are light with the Lord. Paul uses those words to tell us that we are standing right there next to Jesus. That's what it means to be light with the Lord. And we are standing there next to Jesus, reflecting the light that comes from him and shines on you and then shines into the darkness, and that's where we live. That's what it means to be light with the Lord. And you may or may not even be aware that you're doing that. Like Jesus talks about when he talks about the final judgment, where the Christians say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Not everybody does that, you know, sees hungry people and feeds them. That light on the first day, some Christians are bothered that there was light on day one, but no sun until day four. I am not troubled by that. We distinguish light from luminaries, I think is the word, things that produce light, like the sun or a light bulb. And I've compared that light on day one to the temporary lighting that construction workers use when they're working at night, building something they want to see, maybe need to see. Later on, the light comes from the sun, from fire. Later on, light comes from light bulbs. And Jesus is the light of the world. For once you were darkness, but now you are light with the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And those are all very Christian ideas. And I noticed he talked about fruit there. Fruit of light. If it's a fruit tree, it's gonna produce fruit. If it's not, it's not. If you are a light, a luminary, you're going to produce light. That's who we are. Went to church on Sunday at Pastor Bickle, the Pablo guy was here. So I went to the Pablo Church in Clinton Township, Michigan. And there were two Pastor Kahns and then another pastor who, I don't know his name, I can't pronounce it. Pastor Kahn's wife, she wrote for the LWML, they did an interview for her in 2009. And she says that they teach English as second language and they help people in other ways. And people think that's odd and ask her, why are you doing that? They'd ask how we could find time. I would answer them by saying, we are able to do it because we have Christ's love in us and we are compelled in turn to share this with others. His word tells us to love our neighbors. This is what we do. Indeed, this is what we do. No, it's not that we were in darkness. We were darkness. Evil, ignorant, rebellious. And it's not that we are in light. We are light. And Jesus, who came into the world to enlighten us, has and continues to lighten us as we live out our lives in this darkness. God beheld darkness and created light to dispel the darkness. That's the way things work. Darkness cannot dispel the light. Light dispels the darkness. Whenever those two things, darkness and light, come together, light always wins. The light of the world, and he says, the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. It can't. So it may look like the darkness is driving out the light. But at the end of the day, the light always wins. And you are light. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.